The History of Writing Paleo. The History of Writing Paleo, that's a type of Hebrew. Paleo means without vowel letters. So we see the Aramaic language did not derive from the Paleo Hebrew of Moses, who wrote the last five books of the scriptures, 200 years before the ancient Paleo-Phoenician alphabet was developed to the commercial Lord God Baal, the commercial Lord. There were no vowel letters in either the original Hebrew or in the Phoenician until 600 years later, when the Greeks developed the first vowel letters by changing, the Greeks changed the Hebrew consonants of Yahweh's name into I-E-U-E. That's, you know, we're leading up to the Jesus, I-E-U-E, in honor to their Hellenized Persian god, which is Mithraism, a Mithraism, I-E-U-E, the Persian god. And that is why there are no Y, H, or V letters, as in Yahweh. There are no Y, H, or V letters in the Greek alphabet. Since there are no vowel letters in the Hebrew alphabet, then they had to develop vowel points in order to translate from Hebrew into Greek. The alphabet of Moses did not have the sound of W, nor the letter of U. It had the vowel sounds, but they were only understood when reading and writing, just as we understand the word, etc. The Hebrew and Phoenician language didn't need vowel letters as the Greek language did. The Hebrew language did not need vowel letters. The Greek language did. See Horowitz, Hebrew and How It Grew. The book Hebrew and How It Grew. The letter U and the letter W and the people who are promoting the U and the W and Yahweh today do not have a leg to stand on, she says, except the two Roman legs of the Roman monster in Daniel's image, which will be destroyed without hand and all their works burned up. Daniel 2:39-45 and Revelation 18:4. And personally, this is interesting to me, in Genesis 10:25, Grandfather Eber developed the EBLA and then the Hebrew language after the confusion of tongues. Peleg's seed carried it to Abraham and Oz, or Abraham and On, through the 144,000 and the great multitude of Revelation 7, sealed with his name, Yahweh. Joktan's seed, a descendant of Grandpa Eber, developed the Phoenician, Greek, and Aramaic to continue the confusion of tongues as they are intermingled with the nations. They intermingled their seed with the nations. We are reading there from an article called The History of Writing Paleo. Paleo means without vowel letters, and that's from Marisha Truman. We hope to put some of that text on a website. And then further into the word Elohim and El, there's controversy concerning that. If you look up in the Strong's Concordance under the word G-O-D, under the title God, you'll see the word Elohim there, the Hebrew word number 430. Elohim, is that correct? Compare the Hebrew word number 457 with 410 in Strong's Concordance, and compare the YL, or the YIL in Hebrew 352. We have a Yod, a Y for the hand of Yahweh. We have the Lamed, L, for the staff of Yahweh. We have the hand and the staff of Yahweh, found in Isaiah, Psalms, and, for example, Isaiah 10:5, Isaiah 14:5, Psalm 23:4, 23rd Psalm, verse 4, Psalm 37:24, 95, verse 7, and 77, verse 10. We will be writing some of those out for you so you can read them. I'm going rather quickly. In Hebrew, the YL or YEL is the word meaning the mighty one, Yahweh. I think that's Hebrew 4:5-7. While L, that should be 4:10, L is a word meaning worthless, mighty one, a good for nothing who cannot hear or speak and must be carried. So we can see a difference, a differentiation between YEL and L. In Isaiah 14:5, Yahweh is going to destroy the staff of the wicked. He's going to destroy that staff, that wicked staff. So let's unleaven our words. This has not been a complete study, of course, on the words, but we're going to be doing that later, getting into that more detailed when I get my program back, that I can look right up onto a scripture. I can look up, for example, 23rd Psalm, verse 4, and then I can point to any one of those words there, and it will read out the Hebrew. That's okay, because I wanted to move on to what is sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. People want to do away with Yahweh's Torah, the transgression of the law. If we do away with the law, then there are no standards, and there's not a thing, such a thing called sin. There wouldn't be any sin if there were no law, but upon the government, upon Yahweh's shoulder shall be the government. It says there in Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, so it's that scripture. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In other words, upon the Messiah's shoulder, upon Yahweh's shoulder, or Yahweh Hosha, more specifically, upon the son of Yahweh. The government will be upon his shoulder. So without the Torah, he would have nothing to govern. He would not have, he would have us, but he would not have any rules, any government. So obviously, although we don't exist for rules, you know, we don't learn how to do something just so that we can obey the rules and go by them. We don't learn how to fly an airplane or play football just so we can learn the rules, and we don't want to be a believer in Messiah just so we can go around keeping rules. Although that would be pleasing, it would be better for us, and it would be pleasing to Yahweh, so that's good. But to show forth the works from our faith, that the government shall be upon the Messiah's shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government. Oh, more rules, there we go. The increase of his government in Shalom, there shall be no end. That was found in Isaiah chapter 9. And if you backed up just the previous chapter, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they don't speak according to the Torah and the testimony, if they don't speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Does that mean there's no truth in them? No truth at all? No. The word light, we would have to research that out and find out what word light means. We're 9 minutes into the broadcast, and we're moving on to the subject of what are some specific sins. Reading the lists there, Romans 1:29 is one of such lists, where it lists in the first chapter of Romans fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, being full of envy. So it's wrong for us to envy and covet and hold a grudge. Another sin is murder. Notice it didn't say killing, but it said murder. Debate. We hear that a lot on not only Christian radio, but all kinds of radio stations where they have these talk show hosts who have to get somebody on the air who disagrees with them, then argue and debate endlessly and put that person down. Just make them feel low. Whether they're giving facts or not, the object is to make the other person feel lower than themselves. Deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, or backstabbers, two-faced people who are always trying to undermine you. Well, maybe not always, but some of the time, huh? If they did it all the time, then you then you'd know what their character is, but they have to be sneaky about it, so backbiting, backstabbing. Haters of Yahweh, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Disobedience is a big, big bad thing. Without understanding, that's the whole problem there, is people being without understanding because they don't want the faith. The faith is found in the Word, the revealed Word of Yahweh. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And that list is found in Romans 1, at the end of Romans 1. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That goes on. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Now we could say, well, that's not so bad. I'm not unrighteous. I have Jesus' righteousness in me, or the Messiah's righteousness, or Yahweh, Hosha's righteousness. Be not deceived, neither, now here's the whole list, fornicators, just for living in their second and third marriages, like Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, adulterers, not to be confused, fornication is before the marriage, and adultery is after the marriage becomes official, after that wedding night. It's proven that the wife was a virgin. Not idolaters, not effeminate, say, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, the rest of mankind. And they got their magazines and their play this, play that. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And it says, Paul said, and such were some of you. It's not now, but you were. You know, you made a practice of sinning. We made such a practice of that. I was the chief of sinners, I could say. But Stephan Yah could say, but you are washed, but you are set apart, but you are made right in the name of Yahweh HaMashiach. That's the Savior, and by the Spirit of Yahweh. And Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That's going to bring a lot of confusion. First Peter mentions that, or the book of Peter mentions that somewhere. We've got to be careful when reading Paul's writings to not assume that he's saying something that we want him to say. But moving on then to Galatians 5:19. See what else. What we have there in these lists of transgressions of Yahweh's law, one of them is Sabbath breaking, another idolatry, I know. Another is not keeping his feasts. I know another is taking his name in vain. But here's a list here in chapter 5 of Galatians. Galatians 5. If you're led to the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, or having a license to sin, saying, I'm under grace, not under law. I can do no wrong. I can do anything I want because I'm covered, you know, by the blood, or covered by Rick Warren. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, and some of these words mean zeal, jealousy, Torah-breaking, they mean ambitions. So emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, or division, heresies, or division, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He told us in the past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So far we have two witnesses. That we don't need two. One is enough, because we're not judging someone to death, or, you know, for punishment. We're not judging the word here like we would judge somebody who has possibly committed a sin and needs to be disciplined for it. Okay. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, that great physical union. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which Things sake, the wrath of Yahweh comes on the children of disobedience. Strong lust. So strong desire. Of course, it's not wrong to have a strong desire towards Yahweh's feasts and, you know, proper desire, a man towards his husband, towards his wife. But strong lust, in other words, the wrong kind of lust, and passion. Concupiscence also found in Romans 7:8. It's a little free guide here. It's written by Dave Daniels. It's the King James Bible Companion. Over 500 words defined. And it's available free from giving and sharing. So Jude 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, all those filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Obviously, it's, you know, great spiritual speaking evil of spiritual people. There's just a lot of dignitaries that I could probably say a few words about, but I won't. Revelation 2:20, according to my notes that I made here. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, the Messiah said, speaking to the assembly in Thyatira. Few things, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. You allow her to lead you, a false prophet. She calls herself a prophetess, but she prophesies wrong things. Why do you listen? And to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her a space of time to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. It's Revelation 2. Boy, Revelation 17:2, we will make sense when we read scriptures. With whom the kings of the earth, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Speaking of that world religious system that's springing up around us, that ecumenical conglomerate corporation of churches. They're all the little churches are gobbling them up, becoming a member of that one world whore, religious, political, economic system. That's, you know, when they get all together, they have a lot of power in numbers, but not enough to destroy if Yahweh will not let them. So don't worry about it, right? We don't worry. We trust in Yahweh. Revelation 18:3, another list of sins. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth, we're seeing a lot of that, are coming around, deck the halls with boughs of holly, ha ha ha, and have myself a selfish little Christmas. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, yes, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities, or, you know, a better word for iniquity would be lawlessness, or law-breaking, or Torah-breaking. Lawlessness, iniquities, it's all not good. Even in the Church of God today, in certain, well, there's all kinds. There's Indiana, and there's Pentecostal, and Seventh-day, and many Church of God today, divorce and remarriage is being preached. It is allowed. It's sometimes taught that it is wrong, but on the other hand, it is allowed to continue and go on. Most of the ministers condone the multiple wife doctrine, which leads to sinful bondage. They object. The people object. Well, Stefania, and some of you believers who don't believe in that, you know, they believe in one man, one woman marriage according to their vows. But they're unlike that. They say, no one does it your way. No one does it that other way. And my heart is right. The heart is deceitful above all things, it says in Jeremiah 17:9. deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? Verse 21, 17, 21, the heart is where our problems began. That's where the heart, my heart is right. Ha, yeah, right. My heart is right. Even after having been saved for 30 years, I still don't trust it. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe there's some, I do know some people who believe that they're saints. And for the most part, they live a very uplifting, correct life. But I don't know. It's not up to me. I'm not going to say that they went to heaven along with Uncle Harold. Not even David's there yet in heaven. No one does it that way except for 7,000 believers Yahweh has reserved unto himself. He has reserved 7,000 of his precious people. We need, it's actually going to be 144,000 and then some, but according to Revelation. But we need to be disciplined. We need this teaching. We need Yahweh's revealed word, the precious gems of his word that we're reading right now. And the holidays come up. Thanksgiving, they just cruise right past that. Notice how they go from Halloween, which they love, they start that pretty early, a couple of months early, putting up the, not only the decorations, but the advertisements and on all the toys and merchandise, all the merchandise. But Thanksgiving, well, what does that net a merchant? If he's selling turkeys, I guess, nets him maybe $2 a pound. Maybe you got yours for a dollar, but they play football and eat turkey, calling it Turkey Day instead of Thanksgiving unto Yahweh. It wasn't even one of the feasts that Yahweh had given officially. It could be a good thing. There's some pagan observance connected with it, the cornucopia, the horn of plenty, and so on, but I think it's about the only common holiday. When Christmas comes by and goes by, and all the hoopla and the flair and the lights and the tinsel and the presents and the novelty are gone, they sigh and say, is that all there is? Is that all there is to life? Now they're going to have to wait till next Christmas to, charge up their card again, to deplete all of their finances and funds and impress their friends and neighbors and relatives. And meanwhile, some are keeping the Jewish feasts of Hanukkah and Purim. These feast days are a great benefit. They're not commanded, but if these feast days are kept as a replacement or in addition to the common holidays, there is no benefit. So all the traffic jams and painful travel, the shopping and, make it a big deal. All the music, that around the holidays, deck the halls, going to the in-laws and outlaws across two states to get there, or one state maybe, 300 or 400 miles in the dead of winter. The hypocritical, fleshly, feigned love towards others. The hypocritical motives. The corporate, plastic, money-driven culture with its frivolity of trivial culture. Trivia, that's what this, culture is all about, is trivia, isn't it? Sit around and play trivia games. Living not by every word of Yahweh, but by the exceptions to the rules and by gray areas. Living by the Spirit. Yes, they say, I'm living by the Spirit. But why does their way conflict with the other person? And the third and the fourth, they all have a different connotation of how to live by the Spirit, but not by the revealed truth and word of Yahweh. We just read some of those revealed things, the sin lists there. I don't like to, I don't take great joy in going through them, but to rehearse that again, debate, deceit, wickedness, fornication, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, backstabbing, whispering, in other words, talking about people behind their back, malignity, maligning somebody, doing somebody a disfavor, ruining their reputation, in other words, that's malignity, haters of Yahweh, that kind of sums it all up. Romans 1, haters, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And none of those things are contained under the two greatest commandments, that we are supposed to love our neighbor But first of all, love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. This is the revealed word of Yahweh. So, shalom!
There are people in my life I love and want to know, that I care about their souls the way that they should go. Funny how they never ask about my Savior Lord, but bring up things that don't pertain to life forevermore. The world a changing, don't you even see? The bad times are gone, but the worst is coming. It's not that way for me. Yes, I said before, my friend, that he gave his life to me. Make a change of heart and hold out your hand. Life is the place that holds your name, and only by your change of heart through him all men must come. So crown him Lord for you today, find life within the sun.